Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Ian Safar right now. Parker Kelly will join us shortly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Happy Tuesday morning, Nashville. We got a fun show planned for you today. Dr. Crane, what's going on?
How we doing, Jake? I mean, feeling pretty good. I sound a little nasally, so sorry about that, but just that little weird, like, head cold's going around.
The allergies are starting. I noticed I've been sneezing way more often, which is good, right? It means we're getting to spring, but also I hate allergies. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad.
Exactly. But, I mean, we're at, what, 70-degree weather from every other day?
Right.
Yeah, yesterday was an anomaly. It was like 50-something degrees and raining, but minus that, phenomenal.
No, it's been good weather. I am glad that spring is basically here. We get daylight savings on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So
it's coming up.
Spring forward, we lose that hour of sleep, but it'll be so nice when the sun is out until 7 p.m. starting next week. So fired up for some spring.
Give me some warm weather and a nice just radio channel to listen to.
There you go. Keep it tuned right here. And, of course, lots going on over the next week. Both the Preds and the Titans with some roster acquisition or subtraction could be going on. The Preds looking ahead to the trade deadline on Friday. A loss yesterday that it puts them in a little bit of a bind here. And I know you were working that game, Nick. Up to one, I was like, man, they might pull this one off. But you lose, you give up those three goals at the end, 4-2 loss to Detroit. Now you got the back-to-back today against Columbus. This feels like a massive game for the Predators if they're going to stay close enough in the playoff race where Barry Trotz doesn't feel like it's in the team's best interest to sell off a bunch of these pieces.
Yeah, looking at tonight's game, I look at it as a must-win game for the Nashville Predators because you have, another game before the deadline on Thursday, and you wonder if they lose tonight, that probably will drop them a little bit down in that wild card standings. They're only 3 points out, like you just mentioned, from the second wild card spot. But that it's a uphill climb for them. And if they can get a win tonight, come within 1 point or 2 points, whatever it may be, for that wild card spot, win on Thursday night,
right,
you're back in the saddle. And that's what they need to be. And, I've been saying this since November. They need to add that I think they'll make the playoffs. If it's even one of those last wild card spots to get in, that to me, that's still a good thing. Because right now you have a core that is not getting any younger. Go for it. Just go for it.
I agree. You want playoff hockey here. But at some point, Barry Trotz has to make a decision, right? And I still think they're going to make some trades no matter what. Like, they're going to send some pieces away that it just makes sense to get what you can, especially for the expiring contracts. Like Eric Howla, I think he's gone. Expiring deal, 1 year deal. His price tag is probably about as high as it's going to get. So I think he gets traded. But some of the bigger pieces, obviously, that maybe aren't on expiring deals and could be around next year, these are the decisions Barry Trotz has to make. And I agree with you. Like, if they want to stay in the playoff hunt and stay close enough that Barry Trotz believes that this team can make a run, they got to win tonight. I hate saying must win on a game in early March, but it does feel like for the psyche of the team and the decision making from Barry Trotz, you've got to win this game. Because you lose this one, you're now 48 hours away from the trade deadline tomorrow. Barry Trotz has to start making some decisions. He can't just keep pushing this off and say, all right, well, if we win against Boston on Thursday, then we'll make trades. No, these markets are developing right now teams are going to start making moves over the next couple of days. Barry Trotz has to have a plan of action. And I, not that one game is going to decide it, but I think a win or a loss tonight could show a lot about what this team is going to be down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the NHL trade market is like if you're late to the party for, you know, offloading players or whatnot. Because if you're, say you're late to the party and you're trying to make a deal and someone's like, nah, we already got somebody else on
right.
hold, then you're SOL. You're in the middle of the water and you don't have any floaties.
You're sinking. That's what it is, right? Is this market is going to develop and teams are going to, yeah, maybe they, Ryan O'Reilly's the name I'm going to use because that's the big fish. To use the flag behind you.
Pretty good.
That's the big fish, Ryan O'Reilly, for the Preds. And I don't think he gets traded. But let's say Barry Trotz has five teams lining up to trade for Ryan O'Reilly. They're going to get impatient at some point and say, you know what, we may not get Ryan O'Reilly, but we can go get another good option who can help us that maybe isn't going to cost as much, but we can't sit around waiting forever. The Preds have to make a decision on a plan of action, and Again, I don't think it's all based on tonight, but I do think tonight you're 4 points out of a playoff spot right now. If you lose tonight and you fall back to 5-6 points back, I really struggle to see this team being in a spot where it's like, hey, we're going to just keep it going and see what happens. It's like, no, you probably need to change something up and build for the future at that point.
Yeah, I mean, if that is the case, if they end up losing tonight and then you offload a guy like Ryan O'Reilly. And you know, yesterday when Jonathan Marchessault, you know, put home that little one-timer from O'Reilly, to me, I think that just increases his value. Anything that Marchessault does on the ice, that you're going to literally have to exponentially throw it out there saying, yeah, he is a great player, because there is not much value for a guy like that right now looking at his tape because of his injuries.
Yeah,
injury history.
If Marchessault wants to be traded, I think he gets traded. Like, I think the Preds are ready to move on from Marchessault, but he does have a no movement clause, so it's like he's got to agree to it. I think it might be in the best interest of both parties to make that move, but you obviously have to get his approval on anywhere he's going to go. So there's a lot that needs to be sorted out before Friday. The trade deadline in the NHL, going to be a lot of moves over the next few days. The Preds still have two games remaining before the trade deadline on Friday. At Columbus tonight, Boston at home on Thursday. Couple more news and notes. The WBC opens up tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm fired up. It's what? Australia and Chinese Taipei tomorrow?
Taipei, yeah.
And we're getting a ton of scrimmages between MLB teams and countries today and tomorrow, which will be cool.
I think the U.S. takes on the Giants today, if I'm not mistaken. Tony Vitello's Giants.
Yes.
So,
wow.
There you go.
Tony Vitello.
A little Tennessee connection there. That'll be fun to watch. I tried to catch a little bit of the Pat McAfee show. He had on a bunch of the WBC roster, had on Cal Raleigh, had on Paul Skeens, Bryce Harper,
yeah.
Aaron Judge.
Clayton
and so
Kershaw,
forth.
I saw that.
Yeah. So I was intrigued about that. Again, bringing a little awareness to baseball. Love that. I know a lot of people are not the biggest baseball fans, but, you know, there's a collective around here that it's, you know, baseball-oriented. So I think this WBC is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Looking at the Dominican Republic's roster, they are pretty loaded. I mean, yikes.
They host my Detroit Tigers today.
Oh boy.
In Santo Domingo. Lots of scrimmage. Like, the Blue Jays play Canada today. Brazil, who is the first U.S. opponent, they play the Athletics today. Italy playing the Cubs. So lots of big games going on over the next couple of days as we prepare for the World Baseball Classic. I'm sure you saw the Tarek Skubal 55 pitches against the
disgusting
against Great Britain.
Can we make? I saw a comparison online, and I'll bring it up now. It's like saying Connor Hellebuyck played against Latvia and only played the first period. That's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
This is disgusting. Can he not just play the game we need him to play, and that's either against the DR or Japan in the final?
Yeah, I get it. Oh, I totally get it. A lot of money on the table for Tarek Skubal if he gets hurt, though. That's the one thing. If this was last year or next year, like let's say next year Tarek Skubal signs that 10-year, $500 million extension with somebody, not the Tigers, because they won't pay that much. He would probably go out there and pitch two games. I just think he's getting advice, and it's probably good advice for his long-term career of like, hey, I know you want to pitch for your country. Don't overdo it when you're in a contract year and you've got generational wealth staring you in the face.
Yeah, he had an interview with ESPN, I think, while the Tigers were playing their spring training game yesterday, and it was posted online, and I watched it, and he was like, yeah, I'm in agreement with, you know, my agency company, my agent itself. I'm just like, Scott Boras, why? Why? Why, yeah. Why do you want to be this way?
Of the people who hurt baseball the most, I think Scott Boras has to be up there.
Just you make baseball horrible to watch because of this. And I'm not trying to be mean about it, but at the same time, like, it's baseball. You love the sport. Go out there and play for the passion. I get there's money on the table. And I get Paul Skeens is under some form of a contract where he doesn't have to wait or anything like that. But that man wants to play for his country. If you were a pitcher and you were on this roster – and you're only going to play 55 pitches, or you're only going to be in there for 55 pitches, don't be on the roster. You're taking up a roster spot.
With Paul Skeens, he still has 3 or 4 years of team control before he can hit free agency. So even if he got Tommy John, like, knock on wood, obviously, worst case scenario, but let's say he blows out his elbow in the World Baseball Classic and needs Tommy John. He still is going to have years to reprove his value and prove he's healthy before he hits free agency. If Tarek Skubal does the same thing in the World Baseball Classic, is anybody going to give a 10-year contract to a 30-year-old coming off Tommy John?
Probably not. And by the way, have you seen Tarek Skubal's figure lately? He's in a little bit of a keg
he's
belly.
A big man.
But what's going on there?
Hey, I don't care. If he's still throwing 101... He can put on all the beer gut he wants.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, they still got Logan Webb on the lineup there for the pitching staff.
They still have good players, but obviously you wish that you could run out Skeens and Skubal like a true 1-2 and literally just have them run roughshod through the entire world.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously there's money involved here, and money is always going to win out. So excited for the World Baseball Classic to start tomorrow, and then the U.S. starts their run on Friday.
Correct.
So excited for that over the weekend. Today is the franchise tag deadline. 3:00 Central Time. Teams have to get their transition and franchise tags in, so we will talk about that later on. Will it be just Pickens and Pitts? Will there be more to come? What are the Colts going to do? We will keep an eye on that throughout the show, and we will talk about it later on. But today is the day. 3 weeks ago, we as a group, me, Dr. Crane, Parker Kelly, we went through and we simulated the Titans offseason. We tried to predict what would go on, see how much better we could make this roster in one offseason with the resources the Titans have. Now we are going to do a simulation 2.0, but we split it up. We've all done these on our own. We're going to see what similarities there are, what differences there are, and who ends up putting together the best roster for 2026. We will do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. With you on your Tuesday morning, and we are about to do our Titans offseason simulation 2.0. But before we do that, let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenny the mailman is called in. Kenny, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hello, good friend. Would it bother you if I take a minute to brag on you?
Go ahead.
All right. One of the things I love to do, I work weekends, and Saturday's a long day. I love listening to long-form interviews more than just the 2 or 3 minutes. You really don't get to know people that way. But I listened to Chase McCabe interview you Saturday, and I really, really enjoyed it. People see, you know, announcers where they are now, but they have no idea the junior high school girls soccer games you had to call, the working overnight, the just everything that goes into it. And I just want to let you know I appreciated that interview.
Well, thank you, Kenny. That was really fun talking with Chase for an hour on one-on-one with Greg Pogue. So that was really cool. I thought it was fun. Chase and I, you know, got through everything with Vandy and the show, and so it was a lot of fun. Thanks for listening, Kenny.
I always ask famous musicians or actors or sports figures this question. I'm going to ask you, not counting the free things you had to do, what is the least amount you were paid to do a job? And everyone I've asked laughs about that because it's funny thinking back and they enjoy it. But at the time, it's not funny. So I wanted to ask you that. And second, I wanted to really brag on the Vanderbilt women because everybody knows they're having a great season. But to win in Knoxville for only the second time ever in Thompson Bowling Arena. When you put up numbers like that, that is so, so neat to remember. So I was stuck in traffic to Murfreesboro Sunday, and I did get to hear just about the whole game from you. But, yeah, think about that question. What's the least amount you got? Hey, appreciate you. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you for the call, Kenny. Always great to hear from you. Least I've ever been paid, I'm trying to think. I guess if I was to, like, go over the span of a large amount of time.
Free.
He said outside of free
stuff.
Oh,
outside of free.
The summers I did summer league baseball, I got a stipend at the end of the season, but it was $1,000, which is like a good amount of money.
Good money.
But I called like 80 games. So if you want to like go through game by game and like how much work and travel went into it, I'd say that's probably it. But anyway, I'm trying to think of any other ones. Usually people, I mean, they're people take care of you as best as they can. That's all I'll say. But yes, the Vandy win on Sunday was great up there in Knoxville, and just the second time ever Vandy's gone into that building and won, so that was really cool, and excited for the SEC tournament coming up this weekend. All right, let's get into our simulation. I may just preface it here and set things up, and then we'll let Nick Frazier go through everything in the next segment. I want to give everybody their fair time to go through their offseason here because it is a lot. So if you listened to us 3 weeks ago, we went to the Stick to the Model simulator online, and you can find this sticktothemodel.com. It's the Be a GM mode, and you can go through and you can simulate the entire offseason. So this is cap management. You can make cuts. You can extend players. You can trade players. You can restructure contracts. You can go through all of free agency. All of the free agents are there. It's not exactly perfect with some of the logic in here. Like, some of the trade logic isn't great. Some of the free agent logic, it's like, you don't have to go through bidding wars. It did, the new feature, I don't know if you noticed, it does tell you what other teams are bidding and, like, what their offer is. So I guess that's something where it's like, all right, you have to beat their offer for them to sign with you. So it's not perfect, but you get to go through free agency, you get to go through the draft. We did a full simulation 3 weeks ago. Some of the big moves we made, we brought Kenneth Walker in. We brought Alante Taylor in. What else did we do? We re-signed Chigakonkwo. David Bailey was our first round pick.
Jeff Okuda.
Jeff Okuda, yeah. That filled out our cornerback room. We brought Kevin Byard back.
That's right.
We did. What else? David Bailey, Chris Bell was our second round pick. So we went through, I think there were a couple of things we liked about the way it turned out, a couple of things we didn't like about the way it turned out. Specifically, I think we wish we did more at wide receiver. Also, this was done before some of the big moves that happened of cutting Lloyd Cushenberry. Opens up a hole at center. You trade Tavondre Sweat, and yeah, that adds a body for you on the edge with Jermaine Johnson, but now you have to fill that hole on the inside of the line. So very interesting stuff. Today we are going to go through one at a time. We're going to go through all of our simulation, what we did. I thought this was a fun exercise. Without giving up too much, I think you learn a lot about everything that goes into building a roster while you're doing this, because there were so many times where I'm like, oh man, I got to go back. I messed this up and I've got to figure this out. There's a lot of things that happened that maybe surface level you weren't thinking of, but as you got deeper into it, there's a lot that goes into this.
A lot. I mean, there was times where I caught myself in the middle of the draft. I was like, why did I not re-sign this guy? Why did I not go grab this guy in free agency? I'm like, all right, I have a hole here now in the draft room. I got to figure this out. Again, you're right. Yeah, I mean, everybody jokes, I'd love to be a GM, whatever. I don't know. After just doing a little simulation here, I might be overthinking it, but nah, I'll pass.
Right. It's one of those things where, if I had sat down and mapped out a whole plan before I jumped in here, I think I would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, but I didn't do that either.
But right, so I just opened it up and I was like, all right, let's just go and see what happens. And you get into it and you're like, man, this is there's more holes than maybe I initially thought, and also there's less money than I initially thought. I think was a big thing for me. I was talking with Corey a couple weeks ago when the whole Tua trade thing was going on, of like, should the Titans trade for Tua and try and buy a draft pick? I'm going to change my tune on that now, because I thought that you could do that and still go with your full plan in free agency. Going through this, at least based on the cap prices they have for these free agents and how much cap space the Titans had, it may not be as possible as I thought. So we're going to go through all of these. Dr. Crane is going to lead us off coming up next. He's going to go through everything he did. I will go second. Parker will go third. We're going to see who comes up with the best offseason for the Titans. And I think, honestly, it may not be as much about who's the best, but what ideas can we put together and maybe make a better team as a group than we did separately? 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tonight, Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Ole Miss with an 8 o'clock tip-off, and the pregame show starts at 7:30 on 94.9 The Fan. Coverage is presented by Gary Force Acura. We will start our offseason simulation on the other side. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025. The game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. It is now time for our offseason simulation 2.0 for the Titans. Justin from Greenbrier texted in, I hope listeners find this as interesting as I do and not akin to people reading off their March Madness brackets. I did worry about that with this, but I think we're going to do it in a way that people will find interesting, especially with free agency starting in just 6 days. So, we went through the whole offseason, managed the cap. We're each going to go through some of the big moves we made and kind of how the roster turned out. Nick Frazier, you're leading us off, Dr. Crane.
First order of business was Pete Skoronski. Extended that guy. You got to, right? And now it didn't have that weird thing where you only could give $100,000
right.
to him.
Right, I noticed that last night, too.
So it fixed that. I put him on a five-year deal. Actually 6 years total, including this one. So
okay.
$50 million total.
Gotcha.
So I feel like that was a valid option for that. Trade away Calvin Ridley. Obviously, the Devondre Sweat thing, for sure. And Snead was cut, which was phenomenal. And in return for Ridley, I got 92 and 133.
Okay.
So that's a third and a fourth, I believe.
Which yeah.
is a good thing to have.
I stayed away from the trades that were offered because I just don't know what the value for Calvin Ridley would be. I
right.
did trade Will Levis again. But anyway.
It's a valid option.
So Ridley's gone. Did you cut Tony Pollard? Did you
no,
keep him?
I kept him this time.
Okay.
Yeah, funny enough. And then a few small pieces, but the three big offseason signings on this simulation I have is Wandell Robinson to a four-year deal, $23.7 million a year. Tyler Lindenbaum, four-year deal.
Okay.
I thought that was something interesting
yep.
there. And then I've been hooked on Tyreek Woolen. The guy's still exploring the free agent market. He's a young enough. He's 27. Signed him to a three-year deal there. So at 30, you can kind of offload the books at that point. All these I did like a flat deal. I didn't do a front-loaded or back-loaded.
Yeah.
Because I knew if I front-loaded some of them, it would just make the cap go completely negative.
Right.
So if I just back-loaded it, it would kind of screw the future up for the franchise. So I kept it at a flat rate. And then some. Then I get to the draft pick. Excuse me. I'm going to preface it this way. No Reuben Bain on my draft.
Okay.
Which is unfortunate.
Was he there at four?
He wasn't. He was gone at two.
He went two for me, too.
Yeah.
I think that, like, again, this is a really fun system to work with. It's not perfect. So,
right.
You know, you have to take it with a grain of salt a little bit.
So I went with Denzel Boston.
At four?
No, I ended up trading back because Kansas
okay,
City. Yeah,
gotcha.
Sorry. Let me preface
I about had a heart attack back
no,
here.
Kansas City traded the fourth overall pick, excuse me, for 9 and 40. So I was like, okay, first round pick and a second round pick. I'm fine
so
with that.
So you still went Denzel Boston at 9?
Well, he was the highest one on the board.
Really? So
yeah, out of the wide receivers.
Lemon, Tate, and Tyson were all gone at that point.
Yeah.
Wow, all of the pass rushers were gone?
Well, I was going to go for Mincidor from Miami.
Okay.
And his projected number, I thought I could get away with it in the second round.
Gotcha.
And he went two picks ahead of my second round pick.
Okay.
So that's what I was trying. It was a tough gamble.
Denzel Boston is a first round pick. So that's
yeah.
maybe a little high for him. But,
I know.
But we don't know. Who'd you go with at 35?
At 35, because Mincidor was gone,
right.
I went with Mason Thomas. Edge rusher
okay.
in Oklahoma.
R. Mason Thomas.
Yeah, R. Mason. Excuse me. R. Mason Thomas.
Did you hear the reasoning for his name?
No.
Quick tangent here. Apparently, like, his family, it's very typical to have R names.
Oh.
And so, like, all of his siblings and uncles and aunts all had R names. But his mom didn't want him to have an R name. but felt bad about like changing the family dynamic, so she just named him Mason but put an R in front. So R. Mason Thomas.
Hey.
Doesn't stand for anything.
That's okay. It keeps the family tradition alive. So R. Mason Thompson. Second round pick.
I like that pick.
And then obviously I got the 40th overall pick from Kansas City.
Right.
So I went with the inside linebacker Anthony Hill Jr. Out of Texas.
I like that. I really do like him.
Yeah.
He was the game against Vandy last year, he was blowing things up. Mm-hmm. So I like that pick.
Ended up not retaining Chigakonkwo, so which leaves a little gap at that tight end position. So in the third round, ended up grabbing, well, let's just put it this way, Eli Stowers.
See, at that pick, 66,
yeah.
Stowers was on the board for me too. And I'll go through what I did later, but it was intriguing. I've got to say it was, especially after what he did at the combine. I don't think he makes it to the third round.
Yeah.
But if he was, it would be intriguing for sure.
Again, simulation. If it's there, I'm going to take that opportunity.
No, I think you did a good job of, like, if the simulation lets you do it, do it. I tried in my mind to, like, all right, that's not realistic. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
But, no, I like that. I think Boston's a little bit of a stretch. But I really like Thomas. I really like Hill. And I really like Stowers. Especially if you didn't bring back Chigakonkwo.
Yeah, the reason why I just picked Denzel Boston at that point, one, because of the value. There was not much value there.
Right.
And then, two, he's 6'2". Like, that's a huge size. Use him in the red zone. Could be a valuable asset there. I try to stay on the defensive side of the ball for this draft because Saul's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
And he usually did that with those New York drafts, minus, you know, when Rodgers tagged along and then that roster structure kind of changed a little bit for the draft. But following Stowers, went with an interior defensive lineman, Grayson Halton, out of Oklahoma. So to kind of pair him with R. Mason Thomas.
Gotcha.
Just kind of keep that chemistry going, continuity. Yeah. And then went with, in the fourth round there, Traydon Stukes out of Arizona, cornerback. Okay. You know, it's kind of where you get into the weeds of everything.
Right.
One pick I do like out of the fourth round was Demetrius Crownover out of A&M. I've heard some good things about him. Pretty good offensive tackle, so that's why I went there. And the rest of them, I mean, Zane Durant out of Penn State, defensive lineman, just for depth purposes. And then I did take up Indiana running back Roman Hemby. He had a pretty good run.
Yeah.
He was
at Maryland before that, I want to say.
Yeah. So, again, that's just depth piece because – you know, you're not going to really get a perennial running back late in those rounds.
Yeah.
And if you're going to run it back again in this simulation for me with Tony Pollard, just another year of that. See what you can do with that, you know. Because in years past with the Titans' offensive roster structure, you've seen them have running backs that have been in that second to third string realm.
Yeah.
Don't really make it to the top tier. So it's more about depth than anything at that point. Albert Regis out of A&M, another continuity pick for me. Getting another guy to A&M, defensive lineman, SEC, so forth. And then Aaron Graves out of Iowa, which is another defensive lineman.
So. Love it. Love it. All right. So going through the depth chart here quickly with you, what'd you do a backup quarterback?
Funny enough, I kept Will Levis.
Okay. Oh, right. I guess, yeah, you could have done that.
Yeah, I kept Will Levis. I just don't see anything in the draft that would really supplement that. Free agency, I probably could have grabbed something, but – still was left with $53 million extra in money. Probably still can do something with that, but again,
I came in a lot lower than that. Running back, you kept Pollard, kept Spears, and then you got the Roman Hemby in the draft, so I like that room.
And kept Julius Chestnut as well.
And Julius Chestnut, so that you feel pretty good about that group. Wide receiver, Wandale Robinson was your big free agent signing, and then Denzel Boston in the first round. Did you add any other receivers?
Kept Bryce Oliver for another year.
Yep, I did that as well.
And obviously, you have Ellick and Chimdike still there.
Mason Kinsey, good top five.
Yeah, Mason Kinsey was still on the roster, so I just didn't touch it. And then at tight end is Gunnar Helm, David Martin Robinson, Joel Wilson, and then Eli Stowers. So
yeah, the depth chart. I didn't want to tweet these out because the depth chart's so weird. Like, Cedric Gray and James Williams have just disappeared from here again, along with, Kevin Winston's back this time, and so is Femi, who weren't on it the last time. So weird. Offensive line, I really like the way your offensive line ended up. Actually, did you bring back Zeitler?
I did not.
What did you do at right guard? Do you go with Jackson Slater?
Yeah.
Okay.
On this depth chart, again, it has them flip-flopped. Has Slater at center and Lindenbaum at right guard.
Right, but yeah.
Flip-flop that.
See, I don't hate that. I think they're going to let us know how they feel about Slater with what they do. And Paul Kuharsky did report over the weekend that the Titans are interested in bringing Zeitler back. But a front five of Moore, Skoronski, Lindenbaum, man, not Dan Moore as much, but like, Skowronski and Linderbaum next to each other, then Jackson Slater, J.C. Latham. I like that. And then you said you added a depth tackle later in the draft as well.
Right.
Defensive side of the ball, R. Mason Thomas slots in at one of your edges, Jermaine Johnson on the other, and then Jeffrey Simmons. And then you said you drafted Georgia defensive tackle?
It was a A&M
defensive tackle.
Yeah, Albert Regis, and then another one, in Aaron Graves from Iowa. And then Zane Durant out of Penn State. Grayson Halton out of Oklahoma.
Love
it. Four defensive tackles. I just looked at the depth chart coming into the draft. It was pretty depleted. There was really no depth there.
Yeah.
Because I didn't retain, you know, a certain amount of people. So I just wanted to grab four of them late in the draft. Again, those are flyers. Those are bodies. We saw what Robert Saleh did this past season with San Francisco, just grabbing bodies off the practice squad and free agent rosters there. I mean, if he is a defensive guru like people think he is, and he's a player's coach, I think he can do some stuff with some of these late rounders.
And then secondary, you brought in Tariq Woolen at cornerback, drafted
Traydon Stokes at Arizona.
Yes, and then anything at safety?
Nothing at safety. Looking back on it, and I did this Sunday, and I forgot to add it in this draft, just go grab Kevin Byard.
Yeah, I did again. That was my last move I made, I want to say, is I got to the end and I still had a little bit of cap space left, and I was like, got to bring the mayor back. He's got to come back.
And look, with $53 million in this, you know, simulation, you can definitely bring a guy like Kevin Byard out back on a friendly deal for him or a friendly deal for the team. I mean, he is a glue guy when it comes to stuff like this.
See, you have a lot of money left over, which probably is the smart thing for the future of this franchise. We're going to find out when we come back. I did not leave a whole lot of money. $11.7 million is all I have left. So I spent a lot. I'm going to go through my simulation coming up next. Overall, I like yours, Dr. Crane. The one move I would question is Denzel Boston at 9. But I like the trade out. I think I would have just, at 9, maybe you take, like, if Caleb Downs was there or Sonny Styles. Like, I think there may have been a better player at 9. But outside of that, I think it was a good simulation. I mean,
Jeremiah Love was there. I didn't want to take
I would have taken Love at 9
you think?
Over Boston. Yep.
I don't know. Look, if you're just going to run it back again with Pollard, I get Jeremiah Love is a generational talent. I get that. I just don't see value in that running back room right now to go grab in the draft.
No, it's fair. And
that might just being stubborn.
We had this whole conversation yesterday of, like, taking a running back at 4 is too high in just philosophically, but you have to look at the actual draft class and say, where are you getting the most value? And there is a chance that a running back could be the most valuable pick you could take there if you don't believe the guys at the more valuable positions are elite talents. So Titans are going to have to sort that out. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I will give my simulation when we come back. I spent a lot of money. There are some things I wish I did differently, but overall, I think it went well. We'll do it next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. We are simulating the Titans offseason. We did one of these all together 3 weeks ago. We're going separate now. Nick Frazier just went through some of the big moves, bringing in Tariq Woolen, Tyler Linderbaum, Wandale Robinson, drafted Denzel Boston, and R. Mason Thomas as his two top picks after a trade down. So let's go through mine. I spent a lot of money. I, in fact, was going through the cuts, and of course, I did cut L'Jarius Sneed. I did cut Tony Pollard, and I initially did not cut Calvin Ridley because I remembered, you know, last time we thought we wish we had done more at wide receiver. I had to go back and cut him later because I needed more money. So I did cut Calvin Ridley in the end. Extended Jeffrey Simmons, extended Peter Skowronski. So that was my cap management. I traded Will Levis to the Rams. Same exact trade we did last time. I figured that was fair. For pick 167, Will Levis goes to the Rams to be their backup. And I did bring back Chig and Kevin Zeitler. Paul Kowarski reporting that those are priorities for the Titans. I'm going to believe him. So I brought back Chig on a 2-year deal, Kevin Zeitler on a 1-year deal. Other re-signings, brought back Bryce Oliver, Joey Sly, Johnny Hecker, Morgan Cox, Corey Levin. So there you go. All of those players are back. Now I'll go through some of the big moves I made in free agency. First move I made, immediately looked his name up, and we've gotten some texters about it. Trevor was asking if you signed John Franklin Myers. 8566 said he heard it on the show. Matthew Berry apparently put it in his article that John Franklin Myers is going to Tennessee. So I went out and signed a John Franklin Myers. There you go. He is the running mate next to Jeffrey Simmons in the interior of the line. That was my first move. Second move is bring back Tyrod Taylor again. So he is the backup quarterback for the Titans. And my big money moves, Wandale Robinson as well. I also went out and got him. The more we see smoke for that, and it feels like there's a new article coming out every single day of Titans, if Alec Pierce doesn't hit the open market, the Titans are going to be the front runners for Wandale Robinson. So I'm going to choose to believe it. Wandale Robinson, 4-year deal, $23.7 million a year. Basically gave him Calvin Ridley's contract 2 years later.
Yeah, makes sense.
Kenneth Walker, I brought him back again. I don't know if he's going to hit the open market. We'll find out probably in the next 6 hours, 5 hours, if he's going to be tagged. The Seahawks could still negotiate a deal even if they don't tag him, but Kenneth Walker, 4 years, $36 million. I brought him in. A couple other moves. Cade Mays is the new center. I thought about Linderbaum. I did, but he was going to cost a lot more money. I brought in Cade Mays on a 3-year deal. Alante Taylor at cornerback, and I did bring Kevin Byard back. So there you go. Those were my big moves for the Titans. I also signed Tyquan Thornton to a 1-year, $3 million deal. I thought, you know, I wanted to add one more body to the wide receiver room. He's a burner. I was like, he can be our fifth or sixth wide receiver this year.
He had some decent run-ins with Kansas City.
Like, right. He's been okay. So I ended up getting him as, like, he's the Van Jefferson of this year, I guess I would say. So those were my big free agent moves. I spent a lot of money. I got down to, like, $12 million in cap space, which I think that is including the draft. But I also didn't front-load or back-load anything like you said. They can make these contracts all work. It's not like I spent an insane amount of money, but I did spend a lot. AJ Epenesa, I also didn't mention. I brought him in too.
Oh.
To be on the other edge as kind of like a lead in to Femi, right? Like, you're going to have your, well, I guess this changed when I made my draft picks, but you're going to have Jermaine Johnson and AJ Epenesa be your starters on the edge, and then you bring the young guys through. And in the draft, I took David Bailey again at number 4. He got there to 4. I think Bailey or Reese, if they're there at 4, I think that's going to be the pick for the Titans. I think you look at it and you say those are high-level pass rushers who you can bring in and you hope to develop into 12 to 15 sack a year guys. So I went with David Bailey. If David Bailey had gone 2 instead of Reuben Bain, I probably would have gone Jeremiah Love.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're in on the...
I'm not in on it, like, completely, but if that's the way the board falls and it goes Mendoza, Bailey, Reese in some order, I just don't know if anybody else makes sense. Like, Reuben Bain, the arms, I said yesterday, I don't think you can take him at 4.
Really?
Yeah, the arm length and all of the context that's coming out, I don't think you can take him at 4.
Dude's a player. I don't care what anybody says.
And maybe I'll look stupid if Robert Saleh loves him and says, I don't care, he's going to fit in my defense, and they go and take him. Maybe I'll look stupid, and I can look back and say, I think he's going to be a really good player. I do. I just don't know if he's a top 5 pick-worthy player. And so I would take Jeremiah Love over Reuben Bain at number 4.
Interesting.
But I would prefer to take Bailey or Reese because I think pass rush, if you're picking in the top 4, you want to get
he's
a premium position.
He's switching up on us, Frazier. That's what he's doing. He's switching up.
Just make my jaw drop all the way to the floor here, Jake.
I'm backing it up, though. Like, the combine numbers that came out and all of the context of, like, sub 31-inch arms, no one has ever had a 10-sack season. Those guys typically don't go in the top 100, let alone the top 10. Like, I can't take him at 4. So I went with David Bailey. I like the pick for Bailey. He's more of your prototypical pass rusher. The bend and flexibility, that's a little concerning, the change of direction stuff. But I think Robert Saleh will look at it and say, this is a guy with the right size, the right length. He had 15 sacks in college. We can figure out the other stuff that he needs to work on to become an elite pass rusher at the NFL level.
Yeah, I mean, again, you just mentioned the 15 sacks. He had a lot of high production with Texas Tech this past season. So, yep. I mean, kudos to that. But is Mel Kiper talking to you on the phone or something? Like, what's going on here, Jake? I don't know if I like
on
this.
The Reuben Bain stuff?
Yeah. What?
It's tough because I watch him in the college football playoff and I say, that is a star waiting to happen. But you can't just ignore everything that has happened with guys who have short arms at the NFL level and say, no, he's the exception. We're going to take him fourth overall. I don't think you can bet on a guy being the lone exception and saying, yeah, he's going to be the fourth overall pick.
So say if the Titans, realistically, before we get back to your simulation, say the Titans in a roundabout way were to trade out of four, maybe drop back a little bit, and then get Bain, you're okay with that?
100%. If they traded back, I think you feel a lot better about taking some of these guys who have positional value questions, right? So I think that's my ideal scenario is the Titans trade out of four, and then you end up with Bain, Love, Styles, Downs. Like, give me any of those four guys if you trade back. At four, though, I struggled to take any of them. I think the one I would take out of them would be Jeremiah Love, but I wouldn't feel great about it at number four. So I took David Bailey. He was sitting there for me. I said, if Bailey's sitting there at four, I think that's the pick. At 35, I went with Chris Brazel. After he ran a 4.37 this week, sign me up. I don't even know if he gets to 35, but give me Chris Brazel. I love it. Then in the third round, I traded back. I didn't have anybody I really loved at 66 and moved back to 83 and picked up another fourth round pick and took Jake Slaughter, the center out of Florida. I know I signed Cade Mays, but it can't hurt to have another high-level interior offensive lineman there with Zeitler being on a one-year deal. Mays, who knows if he's going to end up being your long-term solution at center. So I went with Slaughter to kind of be that guy in waiting for the Titans. Then I loved my day three. The fourth and fifth rounds, at least. I took Dalen Everett, the cornerback out of Georgia. I took Mike Washington, who just ran the 4.33, the running back from Arkansas. Sam Roush, the tight end from Stanford, who me and Parker talked about a little bit yesterday. And Takario Davis, the cornerback out of Washington. So those were my highlights from day three. The team, when I look at it, I like the way the offense sets up. Like, I think I filled out all of the needs that needed to be there. And maybe a little bit more on the offensive side. Defensively, I think the front seven looks good. I wish I did more at cornerback this time because I brought in Alante Taylor. I took the two day three corners in Everett and Davis. But outside of that, it's just Daryl Baker and Michael Robinson and Marcus Harris. I wish I had added one more free agent body at cornerback. But outside of that, I like the way the team turned out.
Yeah, I mean, that looks sounds really good for the point of compared to my mind just is all over the place. But yeah, yours seems very logical and to the point. And again, don't worry about the cap. Jake, just don't worry about it. Like money comes and goes. For you, it's all good.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Keegan says, I'm with Dr. Crane. I do not like hearing Jake switch up in real time. Hurts my ears to hear him say Bain's not the pick. Jake's over here saying no to Reuben Bain, and he's taking Chris Brazel. What have they done to you? I like Reuben Bain as a player. I really do. I just think four is too high. Like, I wouldn't take Chris Brazel at four. I would run to the podium and take Reuben Bain at 35. Like, it's just too high to take a guy who would have to be the unicorn, have to be the complete outlier of what we know about guys with those measurables. I like Reuben Bain. I can't take him at four.
I get the concern around a Reuben Bain with the arm length, and if you were to play him at edge, like the separation between the left tackle or right tackle in the NFL is completely different because those guys are behemoths of men. And I get all that, but again, if that guy's got some dog in him and he can go after the quarterback and somehow create separation and some and stunts maybe, you know, stunting, I mean, that works as well. And to Keegan's point, Keegan, we don't have any brainwashing, medicine here or a facility. It's nowhere on this premise, so I don't know where Jake's getting this Kiper mentality.
I'm not trying to switch up. I'm just my mind has been changed by new information, and I loved Reuben Bain. He was my guy, But seeing all, and we listened to a Daniel Jeremiah clip yesterday, and maybe we can play this later if we get back to it, of Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis talking about why it matters with Reuben Bain. And I just, fourth overall is too high for me. If you trade back and you take him, sign me up in a heartbeat. If you can add more value and get a second round pick or get an extra first if you move back far enough and Bain slips to you, run the pick in. You can't do it at four, in my mind. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We've got one more simulation to go through. Parker is going to let us know what he would do if he was Mike Borgonzi. We will do that next. Much more to come on the show. We'll talk Preds. We'll talk college basketball. And, of course, franchise tag deadline day is today, coming up at 3 p.m. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.